Welcome to Beach Books and Beyond with me, Monique Chambers. Each week, I invite a different guest from a different walk of life to talk to me about books that they've read, which have influenced them, and books they suggest we take to the beach this summer. You've no excuse not to be well read. Welcome to Books, Beach and Beyond with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Carl Consiglio. Now, Carl, you're an artist who, one of the things you do is you write short pieces, as pieces of art, really.
In recent years, yes. In recent years, that's what, first of all, thank you for having me. In recent years, I think I'm a published poet as well, besides a painter, and I've experimented in so many things. Mm-hmm. And I made 1+1, and the works I started turning them into visual. Pieces as well.
I really like them. They really sort of either make you smile or sort of.
Thank you. Nothing too romantic. I like things which sort of bit on the funny side, keeping them brief and funny.
Yeah, and timely. Very.
Not as a rule, but more often than not.
That's how it works. And so with terms of your poetry that you've written yourself. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid I don't know it. So what's your poetry like in general, the published works that you've had?
So far just one book, obviously, because it costs money, otherwise I'd already have another one by now. But like I'm saying, they're short, as short as possible. Uh-huh. Not all of them are short, there are the odd long ones. But in general, short, and I've got a friend of mine who finished the book after he bought it on the bus, just the bus ride home. So.
I don't think I remember. It's a little red book.
Yes,
I've got it actually. I have it. So because now I'm thinking very short, and there's one in there. Is it called B or something?
B?
Something like that, and it's literally two lines or something.
That's possible. But I don't know B.
Something like that. I'll dig out the book. Okay. I remember the cover.
It's possible that it's just two lines. Yes, yeah. The other some most of them are like that.
Something like that. Oh, yeah, but no.
Like haikus. If they were Japanese. They probably would take it more seriously if they were written in Japanese.
I said there's a lot of people talking to me about Japanese books at the moment.
Really?
Is that something that you read at all, or do you more...
I have read Japanese in the past, but I wouldn't say in the present continuous.
There's something you're doing. So what sort of books are you reading at the moment?
At the moment I'm reading Henry Miller again. Mm-hmm. I like Henry Miller very much.
So different books of his, not just...
Yes. Even his earlier stuff. I've got on standby. I've got another two. I'm also reading Hemingway and I tend to read more than one at a time these days.
So different books in different parts of the house.
Exactly.
Like
exactly.
Yeah. Like the jobs have one with you wherever you're
exactly.
going.
Exactly. But the one I take would be when I leave the house. I've got the one next to the toilet. I've got the one like you know what I mean.
Yeah. So the one that you take out of the house, is that like the one that makes you look the best, or is that just the one you're most engrossed in?
The most engrossed in.
What's that at this point?
That's right, Henry Miller. Henry Miller. But no, it's not his years in Paris, so his early years still in America. He's Naughty Henry.
Naughty Henry.
Yes.
I bet he likes that term. Very well. What are the other books that you've got next to the loo and, you know, elsewhere? That you're reading at the
moment? I read all sorts of things. At the moment I'm reading these, like Hemingway and Miller, but I tend to venture, not necessarily in these older ones. I like even sci-fi books and mind expanding, but mostly sci-fi based on, it will be fiction, but based on, like Arthur C. Clarke, it'll be believable fiction, like it could be just a neck around the corner, this story. Uh-huh. It could just be an unbelievable future, you know.
Did you used to watch the Arthur C. Clarke? There was a TV.
I remember that
series.
When I was a kid.
It was frightening, wasn't it?
Uh-huh, I remember that.
A little bit disturbing.
I remember that very well.
Yeah.
I was young. I remember it. If I watched it today, I think I'd appreciate it even more.
I think it was. We used to be on a Sunday night in the UK, and it was almost a treat to stay up.
Yes. It was up there with the Twilight Zone and all these.
And then you'd be terrified all night.
But the guy even predicted the internet in the 60s. He predicted that's a case in point. So
it's real.
Most of his work is always on what's very just right there behind the door. Ah, what could be right behind the door.
And people sort of forget those facts, actually, don't they?
Yes.
Okay. And what sort of books are you talking about, the sci-fi that's real? Give us some examples of some of those that you've gone through recently. Or in your life that have sort of...
Whether real or not, whether it will happen or not, but it's possible.
Uh-huh.
For example, there's one more personal favourite, is one about a space elevator. An elevator which takes you up.
Uh-huh.
Up into space. And that's just the beginning of it all. The book starts, it has this nice slow pace, like 2001, this nice slow pace. And eventually, it just starts with them considering it.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually they do it, and then one thing leads to another. I don't want to create spoilers.
Ah.
That's called The Fountains of Paradise.
Okay.
The Fountains of Paradise.
And so
Fantasy Clock.
Space again is promised as the promised land, sort of.
Yes.
I think by the time the way we're...
Yes, that is. I really want to read. There's one of these tourists on the moon, and the thing they're on gets stuck in a dune of some sort, and that kind of situation. And I want to read that one next. A Fall of Moon Dust, it's called.
Ah.
I look forward to that one. That's on standby.
So what do you mean on standby?
On standby means...
You have it there waiting to
I already have those. But on standby will be money-wise. When it comes to spending.
The Christmas list.
Exactly.
So do you read physical books or do you read electronic books?
Physical
books.
Oh, I'm nothing against the electronic books, just out of habit.
Proper books. Yeah. That's funny because a lot of your work is digital, so...
That's still good, yeah. Good observation. But.
It's
a good observation. I never contemplated that.
No, but sometimes it's the detachment, it's the escapism, and part of the escapism is that, you know, I read on the sofa. I don't work on the sofa. So
I'm scared that if I start reading digitally, then I'll get tempted to, everything's so easily accessible, that I'll just get tempted to watch other things once.
Yeah.
On the when it comes to reading, I wouldn't do that in the middle of a film, because I do watch lots of
movies. Do you watch movies that you've read the books of?
Oh, so yes.
You do that. How do you feel about those in general?
I mean, in general, well, I think books are always better because we tend to see them as better because books, you see your own film in your mind. Mm-hmm. You're the director of what you're...
I'd hate to think what your films look like, to be fair, because you're quite eccentric, if you don't mind.
No, it's fine. It's fine. You wouldn't be the first. So when you read a book, mm-hmm. you've got a movie going on in there, your own, you're like you're the director. And then when you watch someone else's take, it's not going to be as great as the one you have in your head. You know? Although there were some which were exactly like, if you watch 1984 of George Orwell, that's very satisfying, the film. It's very
just
faithful to the book. Okay. Or Midnight Express, I read the book as well.
Mm-hmm.
The film, it's a good movie.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, definitely. Definitely. So are they sorts of books that had, and movies that had stayed with you, and they're things that you almost, you know, feel like you know the characters, or you can refer to people as if they're those characters or scenes from that book? Is that something you do at all? If you have, like, these memories that stuck with you from books?
I think art in general, I think when something, be it a book or a movie or... A dance. I think and whatever genre, I think when something is well executed, then you're bound to remember. I know I've watched something good if I remember it, more than not. It can be just used as a point of reference and these things. Otherwise, it just flies off.
I always find it astounding how men always can remember lines from
movies
and lines from books.
Yes.
Never get their wife's birthday, but it's they true. Can remember it's these, true. You know, they'll just regurgitate them, and the, you know, the other guy they're with will flip back with
them. Yes. It's so true.
They're like, hang on, you know, you don't even know what we had for breakfast, and yet you can remember.
You remember these things, that's true.
Yeah, no, quite something. And as an artist, do you think differently when you're reading someone else's work? Are you, like you say, you're creating your own movie, but are you sometimes disappointed because of your over, not overactive imagination, but you know, you have
I understand, follow you. Let's say when I watched Perfume, which went down well, I think, in the box office, when I watched the movie, so I was a bit disappointed compared to the book. The book starts, the intro to that book is fantastic, and there's none of that. The guy describes, Patrick Susskind describes Paris at the time, and the intro is wonderful, and there's none of that in the film, where he's describing Paris. It just starts as if you were watching The Count of Monte Cristo, which is all right, but could have been better executed.
Ah. And what about writing again? You said, you know, it's a case of money and publishing and stuff. Is there something else in your head that you'd like to put down? Is that more poetry? Is that a book? Is that
I wish.
Film?
I do have on the side, I write a novel, but I kind of forget the long-term dream. I just write and write and write.
Okay.
If it ever happens that it comes out one day in my lifetime, all well and good, but I don't think about that at all. I just stick to the poems, put them out there. If I'm given if the cash comes my way to publish the next book, I would do poems again.
Mm-hmm.
The poems, because that's the more is at that. There's no stopping me there. But I've also got this other thing I do, you know.
The novel, there's a novel in you.
Yes, there's a novel in me, and I'm very slow at it on purpose. Sometimes I wouldn't have put anything there for a month or two, and then I go back and just add a little bit. And, with a sort of pace, because I want it to be really accurate.
But you know where it's going, and it's just happening
Yes, but then the biennale at the side.
Not surprised. So your style of reading, is it, like you say, because you take books with you, you have one in every part of the house. Do you have a particular time of day when you read, or...?
Peace and quiet. Eh? Mm-hmm. On buses, I read a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When I went over a coffee in the morning before work, that's a lovely time of the day. And
gosh, I'm always panicking to get dressed in the morning, let alone.
No, I'm an early bird, and I go for coffee an hour before work or something. So I've got a good hour usually before.
And then do you read like in the evenings as well, or is it by then you're...
Oh no, evenings, then I look forward to a movie. That's the honey at the end of the tunnel of a day's work.
A movie. Your movies are the same.
Like reading, any genre, and music for that matter, it's any genre, as long as it's well executed, as long as it's honest and convincing and not too try hard, then yes.
Uh-huh. And do you find, because I was recently interviewed somebody who talked to me about these books that are... I'm going to say online, because they are online, but it's not how we know them. It's, you know, you sort of have to click certain parts of the book to get to the next part of the book, and you have to... There's one particular book, apparently, where you have to draw symbols that you...
Ah, really?
Interesting. You spark your imagination. You draw these symbols on your arm as if tattoos, and then you photograph this and then share it on Instagram or something.
Okay.
It's just the sort of thing I could see you... doing.
No, I'd look into it, but I don't know.
Not that sort of thing. It's books.
No, I'm not saying no. I'm open, but I haven't dabbled. That's all. But yeah.
And what about when you were young? You're talking about Arthur C. Clarke. You read his books then, or
no? Back then, I had watched the famous movie 2001 from a very young age. My granddad had it in Italian on VHS, but it's really weird, I mean, that I actually enjoy that movie at such a young age, because I've got friends of mine I can't show it to today, because it's so slow, it's so technical, this day and age, everyone wants to rush the quick fix, so even Star Wars, the original Star Wars had this nice... till they get to a planet, to the Death Star, the ride, there's a whole conversation going on, and philosophy, now it's just, vroom, just
get there, have the battle.
Yeah,
introduce the new beings.
That's it.
Yeah, instant gratification we need now, hey. But, so when you're reading and you're movie watching is a kind of antidote to that, it's a slow down, it's a my time, you're not creating.
For sure.
So is any of the work that you... have produced influenced by the books that you've read?
Sometimes it even takes the Mickey out of. Like I've got one in the book, takes the Mickey out of a. It is in the book. Takes the Mickey out of a film I love very much by the famous Russian director Tarkovsky.
Mm-hmm.
Takes the Mickey out of all the pedantic, all the heaviness. in a nutshell, it just says the whole story. What you just watched. And you totally remove all the what he's trying to say. It's just basically, it's just these guys went to this place, they saw a dog, they philosophized a bit, and then they left something.
Making yourself popular, that's good.
But the zone, it's called the Stalker, it was a film, a Stalker. In fact, it's called Stalker, the poem, it's an ode. If you know the film and then you see the poem, it's quite
you'll
funny.
You'll have the two. And do you get tempted to do that, because you mentioned Star Wars, you know, just to give people who aren't Star Wars fans the, you know, the précis on actually what the films are about? You could do it for all of those, that would be great fun, actually. You know, so if you did it on the Star Wars films or whatever, just one of your poems so that we can get the story without all of the...
Ah, yes, you need to sometime, most, in the case of Star Wars, it would be whatever one's at it, that's Star Wars, one picked on Star Wars enough.
Mm. What other sci-fi sort of stuff do you like?
I like Stanislav Lem. He's Russian. He's almost... he's written a book called Solaris.
Mm.
It's considered Kubrick's cousin.
Okay.
It's planet has a consciousness. There's no life on it. Well, there is life on it, but it all depends on you, what you take with you. So if you have an ex-wife, it could be her replica. It won't be her. The next wife who died, let's say, and the replica reappears while you're on the space station over there, and you don't know how to deal with it because it's but it's not her. I think they had done a remake of the film as well, because it was the film, besides the book, there was the film, the Russian film, and there's a George Clooney version as well of this
movie. Now I'm interested. Like a bit of George Clooney.
Okay.
Yeah. What's it called again?
In a space
George Clooney, emblematic.
Solaris.
Okay. And so it's about what you take with you. So you're saying about a memory of an ex-wife or something, or
yes, it could be anything. It could be a kid. You'd be on this space station, and it's unknown territory to you, and suddenly you see this kid just rushing across the hall.
It's almost bizarre, but
it is. I like things which with just the general feel will be convincing. Not about you get frights, just the general feel will be.
And so, does George Clooney fit into this film? I mean, obviously,
the remake. Yeah,
happy to watch.
Well, I prefer the original, but
because he's not very odd.
I give it a pass mark, the George Clooney version. Yeah. Solaris, do you remember? Check it out.
I will definitely anything George Clooney. Nespresso, I'm happy.
I like to know what you call it.
Ocean, the space one.
The space art, so it's the same subject.
I remember with
Gravity.
Yeah, there was only one.
It has its flaws, but what I enjoy, I really enjoyed the visuals. It was very convincing.
No, I didn't watch that one actually yet.
Gravity, have you watched it?
No.
Check it out.
I didn't know how interesting it would be.
Oh, yes, as soon as it starts, it's a real treat.
Okay. I shall have a look.
And there's George Clooney.
So, frankly, I'll just look at the poster. But is it moving? I don't care.
Like this Sandra Bullock in it. I'm not a big fan, but still, this is a great movie.
Yeah. And what about other genres? So, outside of the sci-fi, do you watch anything that's light?
Yes. I like
and read anything that's
light? Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. I like comedy. Not comedy. Comedy came to mind first. Funny then.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be funny. On the subject of reading. Reading light.
You read any of the bestsellers and things, or are you a slightly alternative?
I gave it my friend a birthday gift once. It's a light book. It's about psychology. It's on the book of tales. We can tell lying tales, smoking tales, power tales, flirting tales.
Uh-huh.
We can read body language. It comes to second nature to you.
Sounds good, like a good one.
For example, lying tales. For example, when the famous Clinton lie, the Lewinsky thing. People are in the habit of thinking that a liar doesn't do eye contact for long, avoids eye contact. But then there's another way of looking at it. The eye contact is too long. That's another tale. And in the case of the Clinton one, when he lied on camera, he looked just a little bit too long at the camera.
No blinking. You know?
No, exactly.
No blinking. No, I've sort of stopped giving books really as gifts. I gave a book away called Spousonomics, which is all about sort of the things you do in your relationship and how you get around, like, you know.
No, I went, I made that sound. because I was the first impression I got was about lending books, those that I hated.
Oh, you never get them back.
Nothing, forget it.
No, I have a favourite book, The Cloud Spotter's Guide, and I ended up just buying a bunch of those because you'd give it away and it would never come round.
No, exactly.
So now I just give that away willy nilly.
A gift is another story. Yeah. A gift, okay.
But no, lending is.
Lending.
Yeah, that's like lending my shoes. Forget it. Okay, not forget going to happen. But no, this Fastonomics one is all about how you barter with your partner subconsciously, or they don't realise, like, oh, he didn't return my call in 2 minutes. Right then, I'm going to make him that pasta he doesn't like tonight. You know, and it's all of those sorts of things. Yes. And this girl got really upset with me. Really upset. So now I've sort of stopped giving books I think people would actually...
I see. No, this is my friend that really enjoyed it. It's the Book of Tales.
And it's called The Book of Tales.
The Book of the Peter... Corlett. It's called The Book of Tales, yes.
Are you good at remembering authors' names and things? Like me, I remember covers. Mm. See, I thought I didn't even know
80%, yes.
I'm not saying
I'll never forget an author's name, but more often than not, I remember.
And if you have favourite authors that you read when you were younger, maybe, that you keep going back to?
I love the poets as well as novelists, Charles Bukowski. I like this is not when I was young, generalizing, he's one I'd go back to again and again, reread and...
Is your poetry, when you read poetry, is it very personal to you, or you sort of laugh out loud, kind of?
I can go either way, it can go either way.
Because I found with poetry much...
It can,
much deeper, it's really mine,
What do you mean is, are you being really, you mean, sometimes it can be light, just as I said, the other times it can be...
Can you read poetry on the bus, is what I, you know, or is it...
It depends whose.
So other favourite poets then, or people that you look forward to their next...
I like the V generation, I like Allen, as well, Ginsberg I like a lot. Mm-hmm. Recently I read a book... A Bob Dylan book, not a biography, an actual book he wrote. It's very thin and extremely poetic. It's just like his songs, I mean, the way it's written. It's called Tarantula.
See, I wouldn't pick that up just because it would obviously make...
No, I love Bob Dylan, so I was curious. It's
worth it?
Yes. Depends on what's your appetite.
Yeah, no, thinking of our mindsets, we might not. Right,
you don't like Bob Dylan?
I don't know if I missed it. I don't know if I'm just at the wrong age or something.
It's still grow on you, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe like
I don't think I was ever that sort of... I don't know, we always...
It's an acquired taste. Oh, well, that's him as a guy. His songs are actually quite okay, quite fun. If you see, I know where he is in interviews.
That's it, you're a bit morose and a bit like, so it doesn't appeal to me.
Show off. It's just the cliche of the home going back of the bride, too cool. But,
that's where we're going wrong.
His song, fantastic, of course.
And didn't he won the prize, didn't he?
They had a whole attitude about it. Give himself up to the...
The powers that be.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm too alternative for these things.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Playing. Probably at home doing the dance of success, but actually...
Yes, of course, like, of course. The cliche of rock and roll, yeah.
And what about books that you think everyone should read? Is there one or two that you think... No,
well, definitely, there's an irony what I'm going to say, but the Gulag Archipelago, I think, should be... compulsory reading, ironically. It's about the gulags, you know, and all this under Stalin. It's a big fat book about a guy who's lived it, and I think it's necessary because some people don't, when it comes to politics and all these things, don't know how to read between the lines. Mm-hmm. So anything can happen if people are unread. Mm-hmm. A politician can say one thing and mean another. Yeah, you understand?
In general, yes. I think that's around the world. There seems to be a sort of trait with politicians. It's almost description thing. It's such a shame. So gulags?
The Gulag Archipelago. I forgot how to pronounce the guy's name.
but it's a big fat book. It's a nice,
yes. Of course, it's a
nice
fat book.
Heavy read.
Ooh, no, it's a heavy. It's a heavy one. It's too, but it should be. It's a necessary book, however.
You think this should be taught in schools?
Yes. Yeah? Well, not just locally, anywhere.
And any others that you've got for us? Maybe something that just lifts your spirits when you
lifts about your spirits.
You just want to. You like the character so much that you think, oh, I wished I'd spent real time.
I love Jack Kerouac and these road stories, you know, and these jazzy. Jack Kerouac and.
So has that introduced you to different things in your life, or?
The attitude. The beat generation, you know, and the beats to keep, they say.
Uh-huh.
The Bayat.
Yeah, no. I hate all that, like, the wrong pronunciation of things. I find it quite difficult.
I see. Oh, no, that's quoted. I wouldn't be doing that either.
No. I'd poke you in the eye. No one can see me because we're on radio. anything else you want to tell us about books that you love, have been influenced by, or books that you think, no, don't bother with it, waste of time?
I don't know. I wouldn't say. The same with films. I'm not going to tell someone off for watching something that I wouldn't watch. And more often than not, it's not because there's something terrible in that piece of work, but I need a new sort of a chord to be struck.
You okay. know?
That's when I appreciate something, when they strike a new chord. Otherwise, it might as well be on the bookstand, these bookstands they sell to tourists.
Ah. So,
even when it comes to painting, you see these great painters on the streets that they really have the gift of painting. Why are those not at the big galleries, the Tate and all that, because that is not what the Tates are after anymore, because it's not enough. There's got to be something, like I'm saying, that strikes a new chord that we haven't.
So all art is on a
journey of its own, besides your own personal one. And all women good, because an artist or a writer can say, but I know I felt what I'm feeling and it means so much to me. Yes, but on the big picture, and that's another story on the journey artist taking for it on and so forth.
So you don't go back to books and reread or anything like that? You sort of, because once
it's... there's so much out there, there's so much to read.
Next.
There's so much, there isn't enough time for all the good books that they ought to be out there, as far as I know.
No, I'm with you. So you've got your pile of books to get back to. Well, I'm just going to thank you very much
for coming to speak to me.
That's Carl Consilio. Yes, thank you for joining me on Beach Books and Beyond.
Thank you for joining me, Monique Chambers, on this week's Beach Books and Beyond. I'd also like to thank Samuel Attard and Carmelo Breck for helping me to produce this programme. Join us again next week for Beach Books and Beyond, here on Campus FM.